Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The clock is ticking toward another partial government shutdown at the end of the week. Today, the House did its part to avert it, passing six spending bills.
On this vote, the yeas are 339, the nays are 85.
The Senate's expected to take up the package before the deadline. Lawmakers are also negotiating another six-bill package, which includes defense. A jury in Santa Fe, New Mexico, has convicted Hannah Gutierrez-Reed of involuntary manslaughter in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust. The head of the NTSB says a decision to blow open five tanker cars and burn the toxic chemicals inside them 3 days after the derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, wasn't justified. The decision has left residents worried about the possible long-term health risks. Stocks closed higher today, but off their session highs. This is ABC News. Sunday is also the start of daylight saving time, meaning move those clocks up an hour. Some scary moments on board a United Airlines flight from Houston to Fort Myers, Florida.
In cell phone video shared with ABC News, you can hear a flight attendant acknowledge a problem.
Something happened.
Sparks and flames could be seen coming from an engine. Passengers tell ABC News there was a loud bang and shaking on board. People were screaming and crying, even sending goodbye messages to loved ones. The type of issue, a compressor stall, is not uncommon, but can be scary for those on board. The plane returned to Houston. One passenger saying all United gave them was a $15 drink voucher. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The International Paralympic Committee is barring athletes from Russia and Belarus from marching in the opening ceremony in Paris, even if they're approved to compete as neutrals. The limit is more strict than what the International Olympic Committee has imposed for the upcoming Summer Games. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin Wednesday with Labor Secretary Julie Sue talking up apprenticeship opportunities at a Madison construction site.
They are learning skills that are about engineering and technology. They are learning skills that is about complex math and science. And these are the kinds of skills that we need in a variety of jobs.
President Biden Wednesday signed an executive order that aims to create paid apprenticeships in the trades to help rebuild America's infrastructure. Most kids are doing okay after a school bus and a dump truck crashed in Waukesha Wednesday morning. Police say there were 34 kids on the bus. Some of them got some scrapes and cuts from broken glass. Only one child had to go to the hospital. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
A slugfest between the Brewers and Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A combined 29 hits between the two teams, but the Giants came out on top 13-8 over the Brewers. Reese Hoskins, who turns 31 later this month, got his first home run as a Brewer.
I'm just excited to be a part of it and excited to see what I can do to help these guys to bring another division championship back to Milwaukee.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have slipped dramatically, losing 7 out of their last 9 games, but a report by CBS Sports says they still expect Wisconsin to make the final cut for the NCAA tournament. Marquette hosts number 2-ranked UConn, but without Tyler Kolek, dealing with an oblique muscle injury.
Obviously an opportunity to play a great team. Can't say enough about Tyler Kolek. It's obviously unfortunate that Tyler won't be able to play, but the good news is we feel very confident that he will be able to play at some point very soon.
That's Marquette head basketball coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows upper 20s to near 30 degrees. And for tomorrow, more clouds around, maybe a sprinkle or two, but staying mild, highs close to 50. There could be a few flurries Thursday night into Friday morning, then it clears out and warms back up through the 40s for the weekend. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Thursday on Nightlight, it's a double dose of funny mics. I'm joined by comedians Mike Mercury and Mike Siegel. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutage, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Learn more at miwsac.org.
Right on. And it's great to be right once a day. I'm kind of like a clock, you know, or what? That's twice a day. A clock's right. Hey, we have our friend for all the way from Madison, Wisconsin here, Arvina Martin, who's the director of Emerge Wisconsin. And we are so always happy to have you on. And I just got to give you a quick shout out, too, because you haven't been on in a couple weeks. You are like a groundbreaker. You were the first Native American city council member in this the great city of Madison, Wisconsin, and we love Madison, and not so much the Packers or any of the sports teams, but we definitely love Madison. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I can say the same. I love the cities, but same about the sports, but I do love, you know, a little playful teasing about them, so we can keep that up.
Right on. Well, I definitely want to go to a Packers game, and they don't have to be playing the Vikings. I miss going outdoors. I grew up with the Met when we were doing all the tailgating and all the things way before everyone else, and then we went into that stupid dome for 20 years, and now we're in a bird-killing facility that's all glass on one side, so I don't go in that new stadium either, but that's a whole nother thing. You're our political friend in Wisconsin, and let's talk a little politics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday was a big day for politics. Super Tuesday. Yesterday was a primary day for a whole bunch of states. It's kind of like the biggest test for a lot of candidates that are running for office. This year, it's a presidential year, as one may have guessed, based on the news and ads, depending if you're listening from a state that had a primary on Tuesday or that will be having a primary coming up. And the big news from that is that we are officially getting a rematch of Trump versus Biden. So a replay of the 2020 election at the presidential level. Nikki Haley formally dropped out today. Interestingly enough, she dropped out of the race without endorsing former President Trump. So that was an interesting thing. I have to say I'm not surprised, given how much she was attacking Trump in the at the end of her campaign, but I do, you know, think that it was noteworthy that she concluded and did not throw him her endorsement.
Yeah. Also, too, our friend Dean Phillips here from Minnesota is now not running for anything, and we're okay with that.
Yeah. Yep. He also dropped out. I didn't hear anything about his announcement other than that he did drop out. So I don't know if he did endorse. So that's kind of where he is as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I feel good about this, and let's clear this up and let's start campaigning. We outnumber them, and I think when we look at the mainstream media, we get really sick of what they're talking about, these polls. Nobody, you know, that's young does these polls because they don't have landlines and things like that. And it's just a lot of fear-mongering going out there. And, you know, Hillary beat Trump by 3 million, and then Biden won by 8 million votes. So we just have to be strategic about those.
Yeah. And for people that are worried that when they see polls right now, I would tell people to not be so super worried right now. This is really the beginning of the presidential. I mean, we've all been hearing about it for so long right now, but this is really the beginning of the campaign. And people, believe it or not, are not really paying attention yet. So polls don't tend to be super accurate yet at this point. So, you know, if you see polls and are concerned, don't be too concerned. Don't take too much of a, you know, don't put too much stock into it. It's a simple snapshot in time, and there is plenty of campaign to be run. We've got several months. November is, you know, simultaneously really close and also really far away. And there is plenty of time. And, you know, the other thing that I think is interesting is that, you know, in some of the exit polls, the Republicans were polled as to whether they would that they would support and vote for the ultimate GOP nominee, regardless of who it was. And there was a large number. I can't remember the specific number off the top of my head, but there was a substantial number of people that said no. And the way the question was worded for a lot of them was not specifically, you know, if Trump is the nominee, will you still vote for him? So it could be people that said, you know, if Nikki Haley's the nominee, will you vote for her? So it does suggest that there is some discontent within the Republican Party. You know, I assume that the majority of it is disaffected Haley voters who, you know, are likely to either stay home, not vote on election day, vote maybe third party on election day, or maybe they vote for President Biden on election day. And that is also compounded by the fact that President Trump
and said a bunch today, of applause up.
Oh, sorry. President Trump said today, if you gave to Nikki Haley, you're dead to MAGA. which is absolutely astounding for a candidate to say, don't come and vote for me. You would think he would want to add those people and bring them on to support him. And he didn't. And Biden has said, yes, we'll welcome you. Come vote for me. I mean, adding voters is the way to win a campaign, not blocking them.
He also said that he had enough voters. He didn't care. I heard that too. It's just like, wow, this guy's just grifting for money or what? I mean, the whole reason why he ran was that he found out that someone was making more money on The Voice than him. I mean, if you ever remember why he originally ran.
My goodness. Well, and now, I mean, all of the money that they're raising is going to his legal fees. And so that is all money that is not going to direct voter contact. And so if you are donating to the RNC or to his campaign or to one of these PACs, that money is going to defend him in one of his 91 counts of whatever law-breaking activities he's done so far or that he's been charged with. And it's not going to help him talk to voters. And that's crazy. I don't know how they're going to have enough money to reach voters if they're going to have to spend all of it on legal fees.
Well, I am glad that even Fox News is not running his whole speeches now because he's short-circuiting live on TV, and MSNBC and finally CNN aren't playing his whole victory speech, because I was watching that last night and it was all lies. Everything that he said was a lie. So good for them finally to wake up, but it's maybe just for a day. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bedlock of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio, right here.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, Haley, who was that just did our bumper?
Hey, that was Ricky Medlock of Lynyrd Skynyrd and the band Blackfoot. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. We had a guest on, and to Arvina, we had a segment. Originally, he was going to come on, but Kamala's husband was coming on our show, and he gave us a piece yesterday that we played for Super Tuesday. It was really awesome.
I saw that. I saw that on your Facebook. I had interviews during the time. Otherwise, I was going to listen to it live. He's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. They reached out to us, and I don't know how they got our number, but it was really cool that the Biden-Harris campaign reached out to us, and they'll be reaching out again. So they'll be stay tuned. Maybe we can throw some softball questions to Kamala or somebody.
yeah, she's sharp, man. She's good. Yep. No, she's really good.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit, maybe just back up here a second and talk a little bit about Emerge Wisconsin. And you haven't been on for a few weeks, and I want to give your great organization a quick shout out here on the show. And as you know, we're on Civic Media, which we're all over Wisconsin too. So that's let's talk a little about Emerge tonight too.
Yeah, so I am the executive director of an organization called Emerge Wisconsin. And we are an organization that trains Democratic women and non-binary folks who are comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. So we do, and actually, you know, Emerge is actually a national organization with you know, state kind of chapters or state affiliates. And the organization actually started by having a group of women come together to get now Vice President Kamala Harris elected as district attorney in San Francisco back in the day. So, yeah. You know, it started with working to get one woman elected, and that woman has now gone very, very far. And the Emerge Network has done a lot for a lot of amazing women. Secretary Deb Haaland is an Emerge alum. I graduated from the Emerge Wisconsin class of 2014. You know, we've got Lucy McBath from Georgia. You know, there's all kinds of amazing women from all over who have participated in Emerge, and we are so proud of all of them, and from every level, from the federal level down to, you know, local level, including city council, school boards, and seats like that.
So what is some of the training? So would you help them with speeches, help them with fundraising? What does it all entail?
Yeah, so it includes things like that. So we go over things. You know, Emerge is not interested in having everybody fit into some kind of like candidate box. You know, like there is no Emerge candidate. What we try to do is give our participants the tools to kind of craft a message for themselves and be able to kind of portray themselves in their most authentic manner, and so that they can show themselves as the most authentic and the most capable, the most talented, and you know the most the one that is most worthy of winning that seat and serving in that seat, and helping you figure out what it is, the story that you want to tell about your life and about your skills and about your story, and making sure that you're telling it in a way that you feel comfortable with. And that's a really important thing. Again, people think that, you know, everybody comes and tells the same kind of story, but all our backgrounds and experiences are also different from each other. And the way that you tell about your experiences, the things that you've gone through professionally and personally, tell a lot about who you are as a person and as a candidate. And so it's really important that you tell that story in an authentic way so that the voters really get to know who you are. So in addition to teaching things like that, we also teach about how to fundraise, whether it's events, whether it's making phone calls. And, you know, fundraising is a really hard part that, you know, is pretty much universally loathed, that everybody hates making calls for money, but you have to do it. And, you know, teaching people that it's not asking people for their money, it's more asking people that that care about you to buy into supporting you in your fight for winning a particular seat, something that you care very deeply about. We also talk about things like voter math, like trying to figure out how many votes do you need to win your seat? How many people do you need? How many voters do you need to talk to in order to talk to enough people to hit that vote number? You know, what kinds of direct voter contact is there? There's, you know, knocking on doors, there is phone calls, you know, there are, you know, the social media, talking about things like letters to the editor or events, things like that. And, you know, and really comprehensively going through the things that you will need to do, all the nuts and bolts that you will need to put together a successful campaign.
You know, I don't know if we've talked since your great governor signed that bill about redistricting. How is that going to affect this coming up election?
Well, we do have new maps. These maps are going to be in play for the fall election. It's great that we know about them now because window for gathering signatures, the nomination signatures, starts in May. So we have some time. We've got a little, right now, about 2 months for people to kind of make decisions about whether they're going to run, and they'll know, the line. So they'll know where they can gather signatures from and from who they can gather them. And so that's really great, as opposed to not really knowing where the district lines will be. These lines are a lot more fair. There are a lot more lines there are a lot more districts that are going to be toss-ups. I think that this is going to lead to a much more moderate legislature in both the House or the state assembly and in the state Senate. In Wisconsin, we only elect half of the state Senate each election cycle. So we do have half of the state Senate up for election this year, and then the next half will be up in 2026. The entire state assembly is up every 2 years. So the entire state assembly is up. And again, you know, there are some incumbents that have been drawn into districts, the same districts with each other. There are some districts that have no incumbent. But, you know, I really do think that this is going to be a moderating force, and we're not going to see the extreme conservatism that Wisconsin has seen over the last decade plus, which is really heartening. And it's going to be a completely different landscape, and that is exciting to see, and it'll be exciting to see the kind of legislation and the kinds of policy that will come out of this new legislature, and it will be interesting to see how both houses of the legislature work with the governor and see what kind of policy will come out of this partnership.
Well, you know, and I feel so bad because our friend and relative Trisha Zunker ran those two back-to-back campaigns and did so well, and I can't believe that she lost. I wish this was then instead of now when it comes to the redistricting, because what an uphill battle she had and did such a great job.
Yeah, she really was a force. But she was running at the congressional level. Those districts are still the same gerrymandered ones at the federal level. Those are still under review at the Supreme Court. So, you know, we are still hoping that those districts will be reviewed and they have been challenged, but that they will also suffer the same fate as our state legislative maps. But the decision hasn't been made yet, but hoping, and, you know, maybe Trisha will run again and run again in a district much, much more representative of the era in which she lives. And much more moderate and much more likely for her to do well in.
Well, so is this the Supreme Court of Wisconsin or the United States Supreme Court?
I believe it's the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, but I could be mistaken. I'm a little scattered at the moment, and I can't quite remember.
But we were really happy that Protasewicz won, and I'm happy that I can still say her name because I worked for her. Hey, Arvina, thanks so much for stopping in. Always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and always
thank you.
You're a great Ho-Chunk.
Thank you, and great to be on the show with some more great Ho-Chunks.
Right on. We'll see you next week. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The clock is ticking toward another partial government shutdown at the end of the week. Today, the House did its part to avert it, passing six spending bills.
On this vote, the yeas are 339, the nays are 85.
The Senate's expected to take up the package before the deadline. Lawmakers are also negotiating another six-bill package, which includes defense. A jury in Santa Fe, New Mexico, has convicted Hannah Gutierrez-Reed of involuntary manslaughter in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust. The head of the NTSB says a decision to blow open five tanker cars and burn the toxic chemicals inside them 3 days after the derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, wasn't justified. The decision has left residents worried about the possible long-term health risks. Stocks closed higher today, but off their session highs. This is ABC News.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3%.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More veterans might someday qualify for free tuition at Wisconsin State Universities. Right now, vets have to live in Wisconsin for 5 years to qualify for tuition reimbursement. A bill getting a hearing Wednesday would cut that down to 3 years. Veterans and their families can qualify for up to 8 free semesters at state universities or technical colleges. A new report finds people are almost as likely to find a good-paying job in rural areas as urban ones. Georgetown University's Martin Vanderwerf says it's a matter of training people for the right jobs.
There ought to be just closer ties between the labor force and educators so that we are actually educating people for the jobs that actually exist rather than jobs we wish would exist.
The Georgetown study found rural Americans had a 50% chance at a good-paying job compared to 54% in urban areas. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows upper 20s to near 30 degrees. And for tomorrow, more clouds around, maybe a sprinkle or two, but staying mild, highs close to 50. There could be a few flurries Thursday night into Friday morning, then it clears out and warms back up through the 40s for the weekend. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate,
they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th in Minneapolis.
You know, I forgot, Haley, at rehearsal that we were going to have Arvina on for three segments. So now you have to listen to us go, But I got a couple of quick things before Bob comes on, and he's going to come on a little early. I shot him a quick text. There's something going on right now at Concordia campus in St. Paul, the AIHEC National Tournament, and it's res ball, you know. And right, so Ruth Buffalo just sent me a picture of the T-shirt, and I asked if I could go after the show, and she said for sure. So
nice. I'll be
heading over to Concordia in St. Paul College and checking out some res ball, and, of course, adding to my small Native American T-shirt collection.
Oh, is it small?
No, it's not.
I know. I've been collecting quite a bit, too. I think on Valentine's Day, on the 14th, I collected three in one day, which was my record. So I was very happy with that.
Yeah, I got one. And, I got a little do-rag there, too, in case I want to get down and dirty and look like, I'm from the 70s again and with the American Indian Movement. But, hey, I just want to remind everyone, too, before Bob gets on, that Bear Grease is happening again at New Native Theater. And I know we're always talking about that, but Haley, it's just an amazing show. And March 7th, which I do believe is tomorrow, is Auntie's night. So I know you're not an auntie yet, but you could probably hang with them.
Oh yeah, no, I for sure know how to dress like an auntie. I can definitely act like an auntie
or auntie. And then March 8th is Native Bling night, and I know you got a nice medallion, and you could bring in your could wear your one of your ribbon skirts and be all blinged out. And then that's a 7:30 show too. And then the 9th, which I do believe is Saturday, it's Youth Day at 2. You know, it's funny, they had a 2 o'clock showing for Elders Day, and now at the same time, I guess the youth need naps too, so they have a 2 o'clock showing. And yeah, then at 7:30 they have a 1950s costume contest, which if I still had my biker jacket, I think I could have won.
Yeah, you think so? You have a great collection. So, but yeah, the Bear Grease is actually playing at Gremlin Theater in St. Paul. So if you want to grab tickets, you can check them out at newnativetheater.org. And get your costumes ready.
Yeah, it's right off Vandalia, too. So anybody that's afraid to come from Wisconsin or Minneapolis, it's just right off the freeway, I-94.
Yeah, that's really convenient. Well, I want to mention, too, NAC, we have a couple events going on tomorrow that I know we'll try to attend. Ruth Buffalo, the new CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, there will be a meet and greet to welcome Ruth Buffalo to the Twin Cities and just the community. So come on out. I know that'll be starting at 5:30 at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And then NAC, Native American Community Clinic, will also be having their cedar ceremony going on.
And sorry, Bob, you had a late made it. And sorry, Bob. You had a later show, but I didn't practice very well at the pre-show. So when we did our rehearsal, Haley and I, and I said goodbye to Arvina one segment too soon.
Well, you know what, Robert? That is just fine, because we have got some wonderful new solar data that I can tell our audience about that I think worked out just fine, because we're going to need a little extra time to give our listeners all the great solar news that is currently happening around Turtle Island, around the country.
Yeah, definitely. And if people don't know by that great voice, we're with Robert Blake, owner of Solar Bear, and also comes on once a week, the Solar Bear with the solar news.
So, Robert, here's some new facts that just came out by the Solar Energy Industry Association. Remember, Robert, a lot of this is powered by the Inflation Reduction Act. So we have an election year coming up, everyone, and I just want to let everybody know all the jobs that have been created by the Inflation Reduction Act. And Robert, I have to be honest with by this administration, right? So 263,883 people are employed across this country in the solar industry. This is huge. Today, over 5% of U.S. electricity comes from solar energy, almost 8 times its share a decade ago.
Wow. Let me get the applause button here. All right, go ahead.
I wanna also recognize that the top corporate solar users currently right now are Meta, Amazon, Apple, Walmart, Microsoft, Target and Cargill, everyone, Minnesota wow. companies, Kaiser Permanente, which is a hospital chain down there in California, Anheuser-Busch, and EVAS North America. You know, what's really interesting when I look at the top users of renewable energy, you know, there's a lot of tech companies. Mm-hmm. And what really, Robert, is a big driver of these tech companies using renewable energy is, you know, these data servers, you know, that you know, when you're looking at your phone, at your tablet, right? It's all that information transforming, right? And mm-hmm. what happens, Robert, is these data servers, these rooms, or these buildings get really, really hot. And so they have to be cooled. And so, you know, consequently, you have all this energy usage that is happening in the space. So this makes sense to me that our top users of renewable energy is going to be, you know, these tech companies, you know. And Robert, let's be honest, these really smart people have figured out that the cheapest source of energy is renewable energy.
Yeah, they're on the bandwagon for a reason, so to speak. We all should take notice and take heed and get on the wagon.
Yeah. There has been enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 32.5 million households. Oh. In 2023, a new solar project was installed every 39 seconds. Okay. And in 2023, solar became the first renewable technology in 80 years, Robert, 80 years, to make up the majority of additions to the U.S. grid, according for 53% of all new generating capacity. So I think the big thing that I want the audience to really understand about this is that renewable energy and solar is deployable, right? Mm. So you can spread solar out everywhere and anywhere. It doesn't have to be like in one space, right? Like say like a windmill, right? Which is not bad. We need wind, but like you can put solar everywhere. And, right. and that's why I, the Solar Bear, really love solar, because everyone and anyone can do it, and anyone and everyone can learn how to do it. So I believe it's the most form of democracy energy that to me, everyone and anyone, because you know, when you ever watch the nightly news, you see like in the jungles and all these places, people are using solar, you know, because yeah. you could dispatch it everywhere.
Hey, something just popped up in my feed. As you know, Facebook's always listening to me. And it had a portable solar panel with a generator hooked up to it. And it looked like it did some serious things. So the technology is just getting better and better and better. We always joke about, you know, having those heavy calculators when we were kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, 20 years later, I have a calculator on my pen, my writing utensil.
Right, Robert. And to that point, right, solar PV price declined over the past 10 years, 47%. Mm-hmm. So what it was 10 years ago is now half that price now, and it is currently going lower as we speak. And to that point, that's why it's like, oh, that's like it's being on par with natural gas, right?
Wow.
And so when you think about the cheapest sources of energy, solar is like at par with probably one of the cheapest sources of energy. The value of the U.S. solar market in 2023, Robert, get this. $51.4 billion. $51.4 billion. 15% of the U.S. homes will have solar PV system by 2030. And there is 450 gigawatts of new solar capacity will be installed over the next 10 years. That is crazy, Robert.
Wow.
179 gigawatts amount of solar currently installed in the U.S. 179 gigawatts. I think Minnesota, we are probably around 2 gigawatts, I want to say. So it's about 179 gigawatts around the country to this day. And what the solar energy industry, 30%, we need 30% of electricity generated by solar by the year 2030. That's our goal.
Wow. This is exciting. This is really, really exciting stuff to hear. Go ahead.
Robert, we are shuttering 53 coal-fired plants because of solar energy. 53 around the country. And we know that greenhouse gas emissions are what's the core problem of climate change. And so this is also the equivalent to 3.3 billion trees planted, 22 billion gallons of gas not used, right? So this is greenhouse gases in the air, and this is about 44 million vehicles that are off the road. So this is the metric tons annually equivalent to of the carbon that is not being emitted into the air because of all the renewable energy that is currently happening in this country. Because let's be honest, Robert, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is also directly related to the Biden administration. Yes, I said it.
Wow. Drop the mic. Drop that mic that they gave you. Hey, Robert, can you hang on for a little bit more in the next segment, just for a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, Robert Blake from Red Lake. We'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
Hey.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223. 1, 2, 2, 3.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Good one, Bob. Good howl. I haven't had you on in the last segment in a long time. Hey, we're here with Robert Blake, and he's the owner of Solar Bear, and he is here with the Solar News, and also a director of a nonprofit called Native Sun, too. I wanted to throw that out there, too. And we're talking about what's going on around Turtle Island. Welcome, Bob. Can you guys hear me?
Did you lose me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Did you lose me there? I'm sorry. Yeah. No. Okay. Hey, Robert. I just want to talk real quick about electric vehicles real quick, everyone. And remember, yeah, everyone, this is just it's part of the solution. It's not the solution, right? It's just like another like tool that we have in our toolbox that I think we're going to need to fight climate change. But
oh, somehow we lost Bob.
Yeah, I don't think we have our station feed for some reason.
Oh, that's
or a feed in our social media.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. I don't know what happened there, Mothership. Are we on the air still? Or
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bob's great. I think he might be carrying the other side, but he's still talking.
Yeah, that's right. He's still doing the show for our listeners on Facebook and YouTube. So again, we just want to change into real quick here. Bear Grease showing up at the New Native Theater, and go see it, and you know, pay as you can, or suggested $35. And these guys came all the way from Canada to show us a good time.
Right. Yes. And I know, there's only a few shows, so I think probably half of them are up already. Right. And I know you went and saw one of the shows. Which theme night did you go attend, Robert?
I went to Rock Your Mox night. And, you know, Elders was the next day in the afternoon, but it was sold out. So. Hey, looks like we got the Mothership showing up.
Who are out there, you know, and are really kind of thinking to themselves, you know, that the energy transition is not helping their community, Robert.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And it's amazing, too, because there's a lot of over the years, you know, whether it's Rondo or areas where it's highly populated by BIPOC people, we seem to get the short end of the stick in a lot of ways because of the lack of representation and invisibility. That's great news, Bob, that we are reaching out to our BIPOC people.
Yeah, I think what's kind of really interesting about this is that, you know, that we have all these jobs being created by just electric vehicles alone. Let's not even talk about solar or renewable energy, right? Let's just talk about electric vehicles here. All these electric vehicles, these jobs are being created. I really hope that, you know, President Biden, you know, really, really talks about this, because I think it's really important that the country understand and know that, you know, a lot of these, a lot of economic development that is happening because, you know, the United States is transitioning to renewable energy and electric vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked a little bit about the prices going down, and, you know, what made the Model T happen is Ford figured out how to make the price of a car that anyone could have. And I think that's where we have to really land eventually. So we're all running around in electric cars and whistling, and it'll be a lot quieter. And of course, with the weather here, I'm always nervous because here we're going to be probably in our third season of drought. We have no snow on the ground. And this is normally the snowiest month of the year
Well, this is tournament time, Robert. This is tournament time. And how many times during tournament time here in Minnesota do we get a big snowstorm during the tournaments, right? The high school tournaments that are happening. It never fails. One thing too, Robert, I wanted to talk about real quick too is hydrogen. Okay. And hydrogen, Chevron is putting $1.4 trillion into hydrogen. I think that this is going to be the next power grab by the fossil fuel company. So you heard here first by the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and he's saying that the next power grab by the fossil fuel cabal is going to be hydrogen. So FYI on that, everybody. We, the taxpayers, are building this infrastructure out. I really do hope that the you know, that our politicians are listening. And they hear the Solar Bear with the Solar News saying that the people need to have some type of equity piece into this hydrogen infrastructure because, you know, those benefits need to flow into our communities.
Absolutely. Hey, is there anything going on with our Native Son, which I love the name of your businesses? What's happening with them right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of good things happening with Native Son right now. We are doing workforce development. We are doing, we are building out the EV electric charging network. We are involved in, there's this stuff coming out called the PCAP stuff, CPAC. There's a bunch of stuff that is happening around, you know, that type of planning and lots of dollars coming out. We are working with a recycling company, everyone, to bring recycling to tribal nations. And so this is going to be my next big thing that I'm going to be doing is working with these, because there's a bunch of money coming out from the EPA. And so Robert would love to work with the Ho-Chunk Nation, how we can get you guys some of these dollars too. So we're just starting on the process with all this, but it's really going to be exciting. And I'm really happy to say that everything is working out. Solar Bear has got a lot of projects, everyone, coming up. We just finished another project just last week. And so we did 5 projects here this last year. And we've got some other projects that are going to be happening this next year. So, and I just want to thank everybody for all their support for Solar Bear and Native Son. You all don't know how much I appreciate and love all of you. And Miigwech, and thank you so much. A million thanks.
Right on. Hey, and thanks for stopping in and being a you know, sometimes a bright light when it's dark. So we really appreciate you coming in and talking about things that are real and really happening on Turtle Island and saving Mother Earth, and not only saving Mother Earth, but the human race, I should say.
Yeah, no, I love being here, Robert. And I know we've got a lot of stuff happening in the election arena, too. We love to talk about that. So maybe we could hit on that next time. But I'm really watching their environmental plans, Robert. I'm really studying all these candidates and their environmental plans. So that's what the Solar Bear is actually paying attention. I know there's a lot to pay attention to, everyone. But the Solar Bear is really paying attention to the environmental stuff. So I'm really kind of keying in on all that.
Yeah, and you'll help us make voting a tradition and get our Native relatives out there to vote, because really the last presidential election we saw how important the Native vote was across Turtle Island and how it changed a lot of elections. And we just got to do the same thing again.
Well, I think we're gonna count on the Navajo Nation to bring Arizona again to the Democratic Party again. I mean, I think it's so key. And everyone, we have to get out there and vote. We have to. This is just something that you know, needs to be done. And I'm so proud of the turnout in Native country around voting. Tradition is a voting. We have that campaign going. I love it, and I love the way Native people are really stepping up. Oh my God, I'm so proud of our people, Robert. You just have no idea.
Right on. Hey, it's Bob Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News signing off. Great to see you. We'll see you next week.
Miigwech, that's the Solar News with the Solar Bear, everyone.
Oh, hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, vote, vote. Vote blue no matter who. We'll be back tomorrow.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.